Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. These days, we're continuing our study in the Psalms. We've got to Psalm 53, and it's a very short psalm, so since I started it before we went to our break there, and being a long break, and quite a one of my favorite psalms, like I said, but short and sweet, and to the point. And, well, I don't know if one of my favorite, maybe one of the most notorious of Psalms, because it's so often quoted, or at least parts of it. It says, "There are none that doeth good, no, not one." And, I think about when our Heavenly Father, when He looks down upon the nation that I live in today, that this psalm would be very fitting upon the nation as a whole. That He would look down. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. So, from this, I would say that yes, He is looking for us. He is looking for those that seek Him. But what does He see? It says, every one of them has gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Well, if you were looking down at the culture, that's what it would look like. If you take the culture as a whole, they have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread. They have not called upon God. So He acknowledges that even in the midst of all these people that don't seek God, there are His people who are being eaten up by the workers of iniquity. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? And you see the persecution of those that are serving the Heavenly Father, how they're being destroyed by the workers of iniquity. Yes, these people are workers. They get paid. Their job is to destroy people's lives, seemingly. Of course, their job description would be child protective services, or prosecuting attorneys, things like that. Of course, criminal justice system. All these titles sound good, but what are they doing? At the same time, they're punishing people that are doing good. The scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says there, "Let every soul be subject to the higher powers." And we have there from our good friend Paul, a treatise on what government is supposed to be. and government being what it's supposed to be, that how we are supposed to be toward a government when it is in its proper role according to the law of God. That's what's there. But that's not what we have. We see the workers of iniquity. And the question is, have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? That's interesting. They make their bread. They become richer by destroying the lives of good people. So they're hunting for people, lives to destroy. And a lot of good people get caught up in a system that is only supposed to punish evil doers, because it says that the civil authority is there to punish evildoers. And if that's what they're doing, fine. But when they punish good people to eat them up like bread, basically for money, then they have turned against what the Heavenly Father has called civil government for. And it says, who eat up my people as they eat bread, they have not called upon God. There were they in great fear where no fear was. For God has scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee, and hath put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when God bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. And there is a day coming when all those who practice iniquity, all those who have persecuted the people of God, be they the righteous of Israel or the righteous of his people today, and they will all be punished, and we will be brought back out of whatever captivity they have put us in. Chapter 54, verse 1. To the chief musician on Neginoth, okay, properly an, instrumental music, okay, by implication, stringed instrument, by extension, a poem set to music, specifically an epigram, stringed instrument, okay, we get the idea, Neginoth, another word which the translators decided not to translate, but just to phonetically bring it forth, Neginoth. And so I read the translation for you. And I guess, I don't know why the translators did that, why they just did not translate these words for us, but just left it there. These words, they have one word that describes the psalm, what type of instrument, a music, a poem, set to music, things like that. But they did it for whatever reason. And it also says, Neginoth Maskil. So a didactic poem, instructive, a psalm of David. When Ziphims came, and who was Ziphims? Ziphi, let's see, inhabitant of Ziph, a Ziphite. Okay, when the Ziphims came and said to Saul, doth not David hide himself with us? And so, and you see, many of the psalms came out of the times of David's great trials. And some of them, a lot of them, before he sinned with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite, before that great sin, he had many trials with Saul, the king that was before him, before he became king. And I believe that the Heavenly Father used these trials to shape David into the king that he wanted him to be. However, like I said, after he became king, and he was king for a good while, then he fell into that lust and allowed his instincts to take over and overrule his right thoughts. And you know, there's a good warning for us all of us men that have been following our Heavenly Father even for a while. We can't let it slip. That's right. We cannot let it slip. We must be steadfast. We can't just let a little sin in. We can't just do it once. It takes over our lives. We can lose our way easily, and we should not tempt God in such a way as David tempted him, to see how fast and how hard he fell, how blinded he became. I mean, should not, you know, if I come into that situation, a situation like that, I just pray to God, no, never, never will I commit adultery. Never will I touch another man's wife. Never. I am afraid of what would happen to me. I have the example of David. Do I want to bring that kind of tribulation and trial on my family to the third and fourth generation? Because yes, when David did that, he hated God at that moment because he was breaking his commandments, even though he had a heart after God and he repented. Still, the consequences for his sin was terrible. What would we think if God said, oh, okay, well, you know, it's David. We'll let him get away with it. No. Praise God. Thank God he didn't let him get away with it. And that's what David would say. Thank you for not letting me get away with this. Thank you for punishing me for my iniquity. Cause look what I would have become had I continued in it. If I could get away with it and there were no consequences, would I not continue? So there are consequences in our flesh as well as eternal consequences if we do not repent. And there are definitely consequences for those who live by our example if our example is bad. Hear my prayer, O God, 54 verse 2. Give ear to the words of my mouth, for strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto my enemies, cut them off, in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, Yahuwah. And here he actually says the name. I will praise thy name. And it seems kind of silly, you know, we sing these songs about lifting his name up high, but we never say it. They never say it in the corporate churches. So I've learned to sing his name where they say, Oh Lord, where I know it's appropriate, like here, I'm gonna say his name. And if you're with me in chapter 54 or Psalm 54 or verse 4, and it says, Behold God, and it says Elohim. So I'm gonna say God there, because the 430 is Elohim, which is a word, God's in the ordinary sense, it says. And it could be a judge, a magistrate, but in context, it is God Almighty. Behold, God is my helper, the Lord, and there is Adonai. You know, what we would translate, the word we have in English for Adonai today is Lord. That's right. So I'm going to say Lord. It's 136 in the Hebrew. But if we jump down here two verses later, in verse 6, it says, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name. And as soon as I saw he said name, I know that he's going to say the name of the Creator. And you have it there, the 3068, the tetragrammaton, whatever. In the Hebrew, the 3068, the Yahuwah, the name of the Creator. He says, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name. Yahuwah, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all my trouble, and my eye has seen his desire upon mine enemies. Psalm 55. To the chief musician on Naginoth Maskiel, a psalm of David. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me, and hear me, I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remaineth in the wilderness. Selah. And, you know, the oppression that David felt in his situations many times is the same oppression that many feel. There are a few in prison, some in solitaire even now. Some have lost their children, their families, their houses, everything for the faith, being persecuted by them that hate them. And you feel these things. You have these emotions. There's no way to get away from them. But you know what? A heart that is true to him, a heart that practices righteousness, that hates iniquity, that repents continually, lives that lifestyle of repentance, seeking to do and live a life, and having made these great sacrifices because of their faith, yes, they could have recanted, they could have repented, and been restored in the flesh by their enemies, but they would not, because they stand in their faith, and they cannot deny their Maker, because they fear nothing, because the Scripture says, Fear not them that can kill the body. So anything less then the fear of death is not to be feared, if death is not to be feared. Not imprisonment, not the loss of things, of family, of security, of job, of country, of home, of liberty, sanity, whatever. And know that he will give you rest, because he will. He can reach you right where you're at, and he will, because he does take care of his own. Now, why? You know, this guy asked me, well, where was God for the slaves and, you know, in the 1800s before the Civil War? Well, I don't know. Where was he for the hundreds of millions that were being killed and slaughtered, persecuted, burned, and tortured by the great whore? Where was Jesus as they were burning on the cross? Where was Jesus as Stephen The first martyr was looking up into heaven. He was with them. That's where he was. He was with all of them who trusted in him. And he is with them that trust in him. And yes, they still feel the pain. Yes, they still feel the anguish. And they still have the terrible emotions. But he is with them. Because he is with all of those that belong to him, especially when the worst and the most terrible times come, he is there. He will be there. He sustains them through it. He may not deliver them out of it, and he may not, but he will deliver them through it, whatever. Just like the children of Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they went into that fiery furnace, they said, hey, if Yahuwah delivers us, and he delivers us. And if he doesn't, well, he doesn't. And whether he delivered it or not, he was there in the fire with them. In that case, he delivered them. In many more cases than that, he did not deliver them. And I'm speaking specifically of a period of Inquisition where he did not deliver a lot of people, but he was there being burned and stoned and crucified and tortured with them, suffering in prison with them. He was there comforting them and delivering them through it all. Because this life is short. Whatever we have to suffer is only temporary. As terrible as it may be, as terrible as it can be, it is only temporary. So we see, and it's okay. It's all right to lament. It's all right to cry out. And as David said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? How about Tony Alamo in his cold, dark cell, being an old man, no comfort, just suffering? Who knows what they're allowing that man to suffer? He shouldn't be there. If only he had wings like a dove, then he would fly away and be at rest. He can feel these things. But Yahshua, Jesus, is there with him. And I know it's true. He's there with all those who love him. David says, oh, that I had wings. Lo, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Verse 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. So David here is talking about betrayal, basically. That's what I get out of it. As for me, I will call upon my God, and the Lord and Yahuwah shall save me. He says by name, and Yahuwah shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, because they have no changes. Therefore they fear not God. They have no changes, perhaps referring to the fact that they do not repent. They don't change. He has put forth his hand against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. So now he's talking about betrayal again. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon Yahuwah, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So you want to not be moved. You don't want to worry about it. When a time of persecution comes, when the time of severe persecution, you may have to suffer torture, even death, or the torture of your family, your loved ones, your wife, your children. You want to not be moved? It says, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So if you don't want to be moved, then you need to practice righteousness. Because if you're practicing iniquity, if you love idolatry, you're not going to stand when the time comes to stand. And then many that don't stand, they will say, oh, well, I can't let my family suffer. For my family, I will recant. But no, you will lose not only your own soul, but you'll lose your family's soul. Don't think that you can save them by denying God. Because the race is forever. The race is just not this little short temporal thing that we call this mortal life. We'll be back in a few minutes.